Clay County and Upperman make their returns to the state tournament, and Pickett County heads to the big dance for the first time in 16 years. The Clay County Bulldogs are making their return to the state tournament after it was canceled a season ago. It took a close win over Cascade in the sub-state round to get there, and head coach Rob Edwards mentioned the team's physicality as the key to their victory.
Well, I thought we matched their physicality. They were probably the most physical team we've played all season. And we knew that going in, that they were going to be physical and they were going to try to push us around and hit us and, take advantage of their size and strength. And I thought that that was one thing that we really did a good job of, was matching their physicality all throughout the game.
And mentioning those runs that your guys came out of huddles with, does that just say a lot about the overall veteran? I'm trying to think of the right word here, but just how much of a veteran team this is you've got with you, that they didn't panic when they came out in the first and third quarters and made runs. They instead they calmed down and they came back out and they very quickly got the game tied back up.
We did. We got down, I think, maybe six or maybe both times by five or six points and called the timeout and just kind of settled down in the huddle and went out and got the ball in the right guy's hands and managed to score a bucket and then kind of got back in it.
And by right guy's hands, I'm sure that means Grant Strong obviously has 40 points last night. Is there anything that he does at this point that surprises you, or is it just, at the end of the day, like, this is just business as usual?
Well, it's just what what we've come to expect out of him, as a junior and as a Mr. Basketball finalist. It's just we expect him to score buckets in big moments, and that's what he does.
We've talked a couple times in the past couple of weeks about guys like Jimmy Burchett, and I feel like, again, like, the stats don't necessarily show how much of an impact he makes on the game, but everyone, as we've said before, that's in attendance and sees the game can obviously see how much of an impact he's making.
Jimmy's really come on in the last 3 weeks. He's been playing a lot more minutes for us, and he just has a knack for being in the right place at the right time. He got a big basket last night, just sneaking in there on a little backdoor cut, and Grant found him for a layup, and that was a big moment in the game right there.
As we mentioned before, your team gets to go back to the state tournament. How much does that mean to you as a coach and to these guys that a year after it gets canceled like it did, you guys are right back there? It's not easy to get there, so I know that you've got to be very proud of that.
We are. We're excited about it, and like you said, it's not easy to get there. We've been battle-tested, that's for sure, and the fact that we were able to withstand all that and get through it, and says a lot about these guys and how tough they are and their mentality, and we just want to prepare and go down and play hopefully the best three games of the season down there.
You guys have obviously played a lot of games in these past 3 weeks, especially. Is there, with a little bit of time now between now and next Wednesday when the state tournament will begin for you guys, is there any kind of plan to maybe rest everyone a little bit, give everyone a day or so off just to kind of get healed up?
Well, our girls are in the state tournament as well, so we're gonna go pretty easy today. Probably watch some film and maybe just shoot a little bit. Definitely shoot some free throws after we missed so many last night. But tomorrow, girls play tomorrow, so we'll be off tomorrow. So we're gonna have these 2 days to kind of rest up a little bit and heal up, and then give us time to get a look at Madison and start preparing on Thursday maybe.
That was actually going to be my next question. And obviously everyone knows you as the boys coach, but you're also the athletic director. How much does that mean to this program to have not just the boys in the state tournament, but also have the girls? And obviously the girls, like, the district on the girls' side is, not any easier than it is on the boys' side. How much does that mean to this program to have both teams in the state tournament?
Well, it's big. I can't say that it's happened very often. I know it's never happened with us, and I don't really know how many times throughout the state it's happened. But I said we were battle tested. Our girls have been battle tested too. I think they have 9 losses, and 4 of them to Clark Range, and 2 of them to Macon County, 2 other state tournament teams. So, hopefully our girls get down there Wednesday and play well, and they can advance as well.
What are you looking forward to the most about competing in the state tournament again? You guys didn't get to, as we mentioned last year. What are you looking forward to the most about being able to see your guys in the glass house against some of the best Tennessee has to offer?
Well, I've learned through the years, and what I tell these kids, we're going to enjoy this experience regardless of the outcome. just enjoy the fact that that for the next week you're going to be the celebrities in Clay County. And
that was Clay County head coach Rob Edwards. It was a season of adversity for the White County Warriors, though it led to a season of growth and development as well for their younger players, according to head coach Eric Mitchell.
Well, you know, it grew, but unfortunately out of some unfortunate circumstances and injuries. And, you know, Tanner Paul really excelled there through the middle of the season with Grant and Cade being out. And then my sophomores, Jake Davis, Thomas Paul, Thomas Brock, and even Japheth Richmond stepped up, and it enabled them to get more playing time, you know. But they played well throughout the season. We came up a little short of our goals, you know, but it's just hard to replace the people that we had to replace throughout the season for whatever reason. But, you know, that's kind of how we grew. You know, those kids got playing time, and they got a little confidence and played pretty well.
Looking at the Cleveland game specifically, what sticks out about that game when you look back on it? Obviously, you've had a little bit of time to kind of digress and maybe look at you know, film. What stuck out to you from that game?
Well, you know, going into Cleveland, we knew how good they were. They had only had one loss at home, and that was to Oak Ridge by one. And they've been a perennial power for the last several years, if not in their entire history. But I thought we was ready. We came out and they hit a three off a tip ball at the end of the first quarter to cut it to two, and then we led. Grant went down, hurt his shoulder again. He had hurt his shoulder in the district championship game. Went down, and after that, he was really, really not the same. He injured his shoulder, obviously. But the kids battled. You know, we cut it to three, and we got down 12. They hit a shot. They tipped one in at the buzzer to go up seven at halftime. We cut it. They got up 12. We cut it to three. Had the ball. Just made some turnovers. But the main thing in that game was their defensive pressure. We just can't emulate that. In practice, and our district really doesn't play that style of defense, and that's kind of what and in the end got us. But you know, you got to give it to them. Their best player, McGowan, he was in foul trouble. He guarded Grant the first part of the game, got in foul trouble. But their other best player, point guard, he stepped up for them and kind of carried them. But you know, we was in the game. You know, the kids really battled hard, and very proud of them.
Have you started looking at next year? I know obviously it's still very, very recent, but have you started looking at next year and kind of what you're going to have, what the new districts will look like? Have you started kind of looking at next year yet?
Yeah, we have. We've had our district meeting, district schedule set. It's going to be a really, really good district with a lot of rivalry games, be really great crowds. You know, we didn't just lose the barn door. We lost the whole barn as far as scoring wise with the Grant, Cade, and Tanner, you know, but we've got some really good sophomores. We've got some valuable experience. Jake Davis, Thomas Paul, Thomas Brock, Japheth Richmond, Christian Henderson, his brother, you know, played a couple years ago, Malachi Brown. And then we have Malachi Dow coming back who you know, blew his knee out, tore his ACL in football, who's probably the best athlete that, you know, for his size I've ever seen. And he's just a lockdown defender, high motor, high energy. So we're looking forward to having him back. So it's going to be a fun year. These kids are really hungry. They're all playing AU, and it's going to be exciting times. But it's going to be hard to replace Grant Slatton for sure and Tanner Paul and Cade. I mean, Cade had 64 charges on the year and got probably 25 with a torn ACL. So, you know, it's just hard to replace that top kids.
When you look at the kids you are going to have back, specifically the ones you mentioned where you look at Jake Davis and Thomas Paul, Thomas Brock, and Japheth Richmond, what are some things you want to see from each of these guys over the course of the summer? We're obviously hoping that everything gets back to as normal as we're able to get to where they actually have a chance to play summer ball and they're not, you know, we're not having to start late like essentially like everybody did this year.
Well, those guys you mentioned, Japheth Richmond's got, he doesn't know how good he can really be. I mean, he can really play above the rim when he's focused in. Jake has got, you know, he got a lot of valuable experience this year. He's very athletic, really good on defense, and his shots really came around. Thomas Paul's the same way. He, you know, if he grows like his brother, sky's the limit for him. Thomas Brock is a really good shooter. I think he's going to get even taller.
Again, that was White County Warriors head coach Eric Mitchell. Coach, thank you for being with us. After taking down Moore County in the sub-state round on Monday, the Bobcats of Pickett County are headed back to the state tournament for the first time in 16 years. And it came after a great defensive effort, as mentioned previously in that win over Moore County, according to head coach Joseph Amonette.
You know, I felt like we possibly may have played one of our, you know, top two or three games of the season defensively. Moore County was a very talented team as far as scoring the basketball. They it's one of the few teams that you play all year that they actually play five perimeter players. And they play an offense that they – a lot of movement, a lot of read-react, and they shoot a lot of threes and shoot a lot of layups. And we were able to – we changed our defensive scheme a little bit, and our kids really, really grasped it, sat down and guarded, and went into a pretty hostile environment and was able to come out with a 20-point victory and hold a team to 40 points that's got five kids – they can score 15 points on any night. So was really pleased with our effort and our ability to go into that environment and compete and get us an opportunity to go play in Murfreesboro next week.
Rebounding is already so important, especially at this point in the season, Coach, but against a team like that that can shoot the ball as well as they do, how much more vital does it become to hold a team to just one shot attempt on a normal possession?
Oh, I think once you get to the regional semifinals, you have to control the offensive boards because the teams are too talented to be able to get multiple shots, especially a team like Moore County that's really patient offensively, that moves without the basketball. You know, they might pass it 10 times and get a shot up. You have to sit down and play defensively. And it's just so deflating if you give up a second opportunity to those teams. You know, if you have to play defense for 45 seconds for a minute, it's exhausting mentally to do. And we did a really, really good job. With that, Slade Copeland, I think, had 9 or 10 rebounds for us in the game and led us in rebounding that night. And it just, you know, we did a really good job defensively and on the offensive boards as far as stopping them.
This postseason has been wild, to say the least, for this team, whether it was the district championship against Clay or the overtime win against Monterey in the region tournament. I feel like these games do a good job of preparing a team for the atmosphere of the state tournament. Do you feel the same about that?
You know, I think so. It's going to be an interesting year being at Murphy Center. You know, we've not been, our program's not been in 16 years, so we don't have any kids that have ever been there before to know what it's like. But with the limited fans, or that they're limited to 250 per school, no more than 1,000 in the building when you're playing, it'll be a little unusual. We'll have to create some energy and some excitement being there, just due to the fact that we have played in some. Now, we virtually played in three sectional games already, the district championship game at Clay County, the regional championship game at Clay County, and then the sectional game at Moore County. So we played in some pretty hostile environments. And I think those two games at Clay County helped us prepare. So we rolled into Moore County and their new facility and all the fans that they had there, and as loud as it was, we've already played in two games like that. So it'll be a little different at Murphy Center just due to the such a big arena and such little people. You know, you got 10% capacity. So it'll be different, but our kids will be excited.
Coach, I know we haven't had much of a chance to talk about John Parker Reagan since he was unfortunately injured, but one thing I've noticed, especially watching this team in person, has been how much of a leadership voice he has on the bench for this group. And a lot of kids might get hurt and hang their heads, but he seems like he's really embraced his situation, despite obviously it being a very far from desirable one.
Oh, absolutely. He's fully engaged. He's fully committed. You know, he was only able to play in 13 full games in that 14th game, start of the 14th game, I think in the first quarter is where he tears his ACL. But, you know, John Parker's been a dream of his to have an opportunity to be on a team to go to Murphy Center. And he's getting that opportunity. It's a little different role than what he had dreamed about, I'm sure. But he's like having another coach on the bench. Like I said, he's fully engaged in every game. He knows what we're doing. I have him relay some stuff to the guys that sometimes comes better from a teammate than it does from a coach. And part of the reason that we're in Murfreesboro next week is what John Parker has brought to us from his new role as far as being injured and being on the bench, and has accepted it, excelled at it, and done everything you'd ask a young man to do.
The Bobcats will take on Cosby in the opening round of the state quarterfinals for Class A this coming Wednesday. Once again, that was Pickett County head coach Joseph Aminette. The Dragonettes of York Institute saw their season come to an end against Meigs County in a tough sub-state game, a game head coach Michael Green described as purely physical throughout.
Very physical game. We watched them on Meigs, and we knew they were going to, you know, they were going to pressure you for four quarters, play really fast, and it was going to be hard to slow them down. The big thing to set out, you know, they were ready and played four quarters, and you know, we would like to go back and get to play that one again, because I don't think we didn't give them everything that we wanted to give them, and you know, came up a little short there at the end.
When you look at the season as a whole and you look at the entire body of work, what are some of your takeaways, especially from you guys got off to a really good start, you played really well in district, in your district schedule. What were some things that stuck out to you over the course of the whole, full season?
Defensively, I thought we were extremely solid, almost every single game. That was a big standout as far as, you know, just a huge bright spot, just the effort. Defensively, really stood out. We won some games that we shouldn't have probably, and we did that by, you know, following a game plan and playing like we wanted to play those games. So you know, there were three or four big games there that we won that we probably weren't expected to win. But defensively, I think the biggest standout was how solid and how much effort we put in to the defensive end of the floor every single night.
Coach, I got to be honest with you. One thing that still just almost doesn't seem real to me is still the Upperman game from the region tournament. And I know you guys have probably moved on from that, and you probably are thinking more about Meigs County than you are Upperman. But does that are you still hearing about from people about that? Does that still seem real to you that actually happened?
You still hear quite a bit about it. You know, Upperman was probably the pick to win the whole deal, you know, and they're not there, so kind of did a favor to these other teams, giving them a better chance to get to the championship game, because Upperman, I think, you know, Upperman gets there, they probably do win it all, and you know, it still kind of seems unreal. It was just a unexplainable night, just so many emotions throughout the whole game, you know, to lead the entire game, basically, and then within the last minute, you know, it just kind of all starts unraveling, and you keep telling the girls, you know, we didn't battle this hard to let them have it, and then, of course, Haley's miracle shot there, and, you know, but we still had overtime, you know, we had overtime to play, and we could have let that shot been our highlight of the night, but, you know, luckily we did what we wanted to do and ended up with a win, huge win, and that kept our season going. And, you know, I think it kind of carried over a little bit, and we didn't, you know, that might have been our championship there for a little while instead of, you know, getting refocused on everything that we needed to. But it was a great win, obviously, and, you know, something those girls and myself will remember forever.
Coach, one thing I know a lot of other teams are doing right now is a lot of them are conducting their exit interviews of sorts as their seasons come to end, and they, you know, talk to their players that they're returning the next year. And what have you had a chance to meet with your players that you're expecting to have next year? Have you had a chance to meet with them and kind of tell them what your expectations are for them to work on over the off season?
We've not really done our individual stuff, our individual talks. They, you know, they basically went right in. Most of them are either running track or softball. So I'm kind of letting them, you know, trying to get over that Meigs loss and, you know, let them kind of take a break. And then we'll probably hear, you know, around sometime about midway through April, while I get them all back in and go through individual stuff and all that. Right now we're just trying to, you know, process that our season's over and, you know, we're going to be missing all of our seniors and, you know, just basically kind of giving them a break, take their mind off everything, get focused on their other sports right now.
The Dragonettes will have a tough time in the upcoming 2021-2022 season when it comes to replacing the production of senior Haley Johnson, but with returning members such as Gabby Beatty, Ellie LaFew, and Sage Smith, along with expected incoming newcomer Reese Beatty, Gabby's little sister, The Dragonettes will have a chance to compete in their new district, but until then, that was York Dragonette head coach Michael Green. The Warren County Pioneers ended their season with a tough loss against Siegel in the sub-state round this past Monday. Though if you ask head coach Chris Sullins, it had nothing to do with their effort.
We played extremely hard. I thought we did a lot of things defensively that we asked them to do. I don't think effort was the reason that we didn't win that basketball game. Truthfully, I mean, Siegel, they may be a little bit better 1-5, to be honest with you. I mean, they've got a good basketball team. Their record speaks for itself. You know, the Bister basketball candidate's a phenomenal player, and then the Swader kid, you know, as good as point guard we played against. And there were certain things we needed to do to stay in that basketball game until the last 3 or 4 minutes. And then there was just, you know, I think it was 40-35, and they go on like a 7-0 run. Kind of got us down 12, and it's an uphill battle. And you know, there are some things that we can struggle with, scoring the basketball on the perimeter. And I think that happened a little bit. And all credit goes to Siegel. I thought our kids played extremely hard. They continued to battle the whole night, but we may have got beat by a better basketball team on Monday night.
Coach, talk about the support you guys had on the road for not just this game, but also the region championship game against Cleveland, because, you know, it was just a few months ago, we were playing with limited fans, and yet here we are a few months later, and you guys were filling up road stadiums.
It's funny you say that. I don't know if people realize tickets went on sale to the public on Saturday at Siegel. Through the Siegel Go Fan at 2:00, at 2:08 it had sold out. It took 8 minutes to sell out. So in Warren County, they bought a whole lot of those tickets, and they did the same thing at Cleveland. You know, we told them the gates were going to open an hour before at Cleveland, and they show up 2 hours before. They're actually tailgating in the parking lot before we get to Cleveland that night. So Warren County has been starving for some success, and we noticed a couple years ago, you know, when we get to a region. You know, we finally win a region game. And then last year, you know, when we get some region home games and district championships, our fan base is second to none. They'll go with us and support us. And there's a debt of gratitude that goes towards all those people at Warren County that came and watched us play. I know it's been a tough year, but when the gates opened, the tickets went on sale, no matter what the ticket limitation was. Warren County did as much as they could to make sure they were a huge part of that. And I told some the other night, I think the ticket stopped at 600. If they could allow 6,000, I think Warren County would have filled up the 6,000-seat facility. I never thought I'd see high school games where tickets were being scalped. I've seen some guys on the internet actually saying, hey, I've got tickets for sale for $15 or $20. So, you know, that's something you've not seen in a long time. And we really appreciate our support.
How much does that mean to the guys? Because I know that, you know, obviously no one wants to play in an empty gym, and that's what everybody had to do for the first probably, you know, 50% of the season, first half of the season. You know, everyone had to do that where they were playing in front of limited crowds, and nobody enjoys playing in front of empty gyms. How much does that mean to these kids to see that kind of support, especially on the road?
Well, it means a ton to them. I mean, because our kids understand the amount of support that we have in this community. I mean, you know, like I said before, we're the only high school, you know, public high school in Warren County. We're the only TSSAA school. And our community will do anything. They'll go above and beyond. Our kids know that. And the thing I like about it is, you know, Warren County's not had a lot of success in football and basketball in quite some time. And you're seeing young kids that are in the fifth, sixth, seventh grade, the third and fourth grade, and they're coming and watching us play, and they're seeing you be successful. So it kind of changes their mindset about Warren County athletics as they come up. So it's been a great ride for 2 years. Our kids have thoroughly enjoyed it, and we hope to keep it going in years to come.
Speaking of years to come, obviously you told me earlier that you were in a district meeting to talk about the new district, the new league, and how everything's going to look. What are some things you're looking forward to about the new district?
Well, you know, you got the new district. You got the, you know, the Coffee County and Franklin County and Shelbyville, you know, are now that's who we're with. It was kind of bittersweet today. When you lose Cookeville and Stone and especially White County, those are schools that I do not think that there's been a year in the 50-year existence of Warren County that White County and Cookeville's not been in our district. So yeah, that's bittersweet because those are just relationships that we built.
Again, that is Warren County Pioneers head coach, Chris Sullins. Coach, thank you for joining us. The York Institute Dragons fell to Howard on Monday to end their season, though it's one that head coach Roy Whited says he's proud of after he has had a chance to look back on it.
Well, I really believe that, you know, it took, you know, a great deal of fortitude and perseverance from our players to be able to withstand. And we lost some players. I'm because of circumstances that were out of our control. We did have multiple shutdowns and because of the COVID and also in, it's a very difficult environment to change coaches and change systems, and not having a summer camp, not having preseason scrimmages, it made it extremely, extremely difficult. I think it's more so on the players than the coaches. Now, don't get me wrong, it's very difficult on the coaching staff, but it was extremely difficult on our players because we were relying on a lot of youth, a lot of freshmen to be able to come in from the very beginning and be able to contribute and be able to play, you know, on a high level. And that was a very, very difficult thing to ask. But it was also, we knew for growing purposes and as our season progressed, it was absolutely necessary.
Two of those young players I'm sure you're talking about are Bryson Bilbrey and Miles Lefeu, and I feel like those two, we've talked about them a lot this year, but I don't feel like you can talk about them enough in terms of the growth they made, the strides they made, and I'm sure you're very happy with where they ended their seasons up after obviously having to start and play big minutes in in a tough, tough district.
Absolutely. You know, and those two, you know, adapted extremely well and got better as the season progressed. And one that oftentimes gets overlooked is Zach Bird, who came off the bench and had to fill a post position when Riley got tired, when Riley Cooper got in foul trouble, and he had to play big minutes at big times against very, very strong competition. You know, Alex Rush, those players that, you know, come in from Chattanooga Howard, and it was a very difficult thing for him, but he played extremely well. He actually played above and beyond our coaching staff expectations.
Speaking specifically on that game against Howard, I know that obviously a loss is never how you want to end your season, but your guys did make a comeback from 14 points down. They were in the game there until the very end. How much does that say about this group of guys and how much they fought and battled throughout the entire season?
And that just tells you that they're unwilling to give up. And when things look bad and you're down 14 midway through the third quarter, we did make some adjustments that were effective on the defensive end, and our players executed extremely well and actually took the lead the last 2 minutes of the game, and actually we had the lead to the last 7 seconds of the game. And, you know, we made some mistakes ball handling wise. We missed some free throws, but, you know, you couldn't have been, I couldn't have been more proud of a group of young men that looked like that they were going to get run out of the gym by a very athletic, talented team. And for them to step back and come into that situation, I think that goes back to during the season that many times at halftime we would be down, but we would come back the second half, and the second half was always our best half. And we talked to them at halftime, being down 11. I said, listen, you know, we've been in this situation many times this season against good teams, Kingston, who is a state tournament double-A team. I said, and we've come back. We've battled back. And I said, this will be no different. I said, we just got to take it one possession at a time.
Once again, the Dragons see their season end in a tough loss to Howard despite coming back from 14 points down. Until next season, that was York Institute head coach Roy Whited. The Livingston Academy Wildcats wrapped up their season in a tough loss to Upperman. Despite it not being the ending they wanted, head coach Jimmy Miller says he's proud of how his team never quit and never gave up throughout the entire season.
I'm probably the most proud about how these guys, they didn't quit, and you know, they played super hard and super well, and no matter what adversity hit, no matter the quarantines, the multiple quarantines, injuries, losing players, they came to work every day, and they actually performed well every day. So that's probably the thing that I'm the most proud of.
I feel like this year is a good year for just teaching how to handle adversity, and I feel like this team specifically is the best example of that because, as you mentioned, multiple quarantines. There was that little stretch where you played nothing but tough competition in your non-district schedule, and in those tough times, I'm sure it'd be easy for any team to fold, but this team came back, went to work, got out of quarantine, and finished the season as one of the hottest teams in the area, and I know that's something you're very proud of.
Absolutely. You know, Coach Kennard last night brought to our attention, I didn't realize this, but you know, we lost 12 ball games this year. 10 of those 12 games, those teams were playing last night. So that means 10 of those 12 teams were going to be sub-state competing opponents. The other two were AAA schools whom we played extremely close with. So after I heard that, I realized that these guys had more of a successful season than I actually even realized.
So let's talk about, I know the season obviously has ended just recently for you guys, so you probably haven't had a chance to look too deep into next year yet, but when you look at what you're going to be bringing back and you look at how districts might be different next year, and I know you guys are moving up to the 3A level, what are some challenges you're expecting for next year?
I think it's going to be a very tough district for us. It's going to change. Opponents are going to change. Different personnel. We've got a lot of things to work on. We got some young guys that's got to step up and take some scoring responsibility, you know, with losing Matthew Sales as far as from the offensive end. But it's exciting, too. It's exciting to watch these young guys get their chance and be hungry. And when they come up the line, that's always a fun thing.
And you mentioned Matthew Sales. Let's talk about this senior class next, because I know that, you know, everyone looks at Matthew and they'll remember him as one of the best players in school history, if not the best. And I feel like it's important to remember that there are other seniors on this team, like Nate Carwile as well, who have put in 4 years of really, really hard work to get to where they are now. What are you going to miss most about this senior class?
I think, you know, we've got four seniors this year, Hunter Kaufman, Nate Carwile, Matthew Sales, and Bryson Tucker. It's just four of the most dependable young guys you could ever ask for. There was never any off-court incidents. There was never any worry in the classroom. These guys took care of business in every facet you could expect them to. And because of that, we got to concentrate on basketball. Their work ethic was great. Their leadership was great. If you could have seniors like that every year, this job would be easy.
I've heard a lot of coaches say this, and I'm interested to see what your thoughts are on this. I think I might have actually heard you say this too, that when you lose seniors, you don't actually replace them. You more or less adapt. Is that what you is that going to be the case next year?
I think so. You definitely can't replace, you know, things that those guys bring after 4 years of hard work and improvement and leadership. It's just things they do that. You know, you can't replace, but what they do is they leave their mark on these younger guys, and these younger guys actually get to see what it takes to have to be where you want to be.
Again, that is Livingston Academy Wildcats head coach Jimmy Miller. The Upperman Bees took down Livingston Academy, and head coach Bobby McWilliams says he was most pleased with the defense his guys played on Matthew Sales.
Probably our biggest positives that I took away from that game, and I thought our kids were really poised, you know, especially early in the game when it was slow tempo and we didn't become discouraged and we just kept doing our deal I thought we were locked in and ready to play.
I feel like it's games like this where, you know, it's a big crowd, it's loud, it's a really, really good atmosphere, where it's games like this where a team's experience really shows through, and I feel like that really happened last night, especially when the league got cut down to 5 in the fourth. Talk about your team's composure there in the fourth where Livingston made their run and your guys kind of just withstood it and ended up closing the game out.
Sure, I think that, you know, no doubt, I think that helped us. You know, these guys have been in some really good games, really tight games over the course of their career, and No doubt they were able to draw on that experience last night when we needed it, and we were able to eventually hold them off and get the win.
I feel like Colin Gore was a huge part of that in the sense that, you know, Matthew Sales, you know, scores 13 in the fourth, and he did it all very early. But it feels like, especially in the latter half of that quarter, Colin did a really good job of making his life difficult, forcing tough shots. And I feel like that's just what you would expect out of your senior point guard.
Absolutely. You know, he we switched Colin off on him there late in the third, I think it was. And he's worked really hard to become a better defender and try to learn on, you know, how to play. And since he's been here, and he's really became a really good defender. People don't – he's so good on the offensive end, they don't really – understand how good he can be defensively, and he showed it last night. I thought he played really, really good. You know, Matthew's not an easy matchup for anyone in a high school basketball game. He's so hard to keep the ball away from, and then when he gets it, he's so hard to defend. But I thought Colin and Jackson all night long, those two were very good defensively.
And, you know, you speak defensively as well. I think that the other big part was that, you know, Matthew Sells, again, ends up with 19. And you said it, he's one of the toughest kids to stop, and he's just a really good scorer. But your team did a really good job of limiting everybody else. There wasn't anybody else that had more than 6 points, I think it was. How important was that in the game plan of, you know, Matthew Sells is going to knock down some tough shots, but we can't let anybody else beat us as well?
Well, I think in that situation you had to. You know, you can't he's going to get his, and you just hope he doesn't, you know, have a repeat of the night before or the game before. I thought that defensively, like I said, our rotations were good. We rotated good out of our double teams. We rotated good out of our help. We helped each other when we did go help. So that was just huge. But I just thought all the way around, you know, those guys that were in the game, whoever was in at that time, were locked in. They understood what we were trying to get done defensively, and it paid off for us.
Coach, we've seen a lot of postseason games in the last couple of weeks, and a lot of them, and almost all of them, have had just fantastic, fantastic crowds. Talk about the atmosphere last night, though, because that was probably the best one I've seen so far, where it was a lot of your fans, a lot of Livingston fans. Everyone was loud. There were moments I feel like I couldn't hear myself think. How important is that in terms of getting the guys' energy, keeping that energy up? How important is that?
Obviously both teams probably played off that energy a little bit.
The Bees will host the York Institute Dragons on Thursday, just as they did a week ago in the district championship. Until then, that was Upperman head coach Bobby McWilliams. Coach, thank you for joining us tonight.